Good morning, everyone. Thank you for coming to my presentation today on the morning of the last day. Today I'm going to be talking about some work I've done as part of my PhD research at Iowa State University with Satori Sakantolis and David Laird. And the title's slightly modified from what you find in the program booklet, but same general idea. And for those who were at my talk yesterday, I do have a couple of the same slides, so I apologize for that. But within this study, we're looking at evaluating pedotransfer transfer functions and the APSIM cropping systems model for estimating biochar impacts on soil water. So for those that don't know about biochar, just general overview, it's a solid, highly porous, very carbon-rich material that is produced through pyrolysis, or the thermochemical conversion of biomass to bioenergy, and it's produced in the absence of oxygen. And we get this very dark material that's very similar to charcoal but has slightly different properties. And it is inherently different than native soil organic matter in the soil. And biochar is specifically meant to be applied to soil to improve soil quality, specifically water and nutrient retention, crop productivity overall, microbial activity, and it's a climate mitigation agent. So, but with biochar is that we like to refer them more as biochars, because you can see from this picture here that there's a lot of diversity associated with biochar. They're not all the same. And this is largely a product of the original feedstocks of things like corn stover, switchgrass, manures, whatever you use to produce the biochars. And also the production conditions, whether we use a slow pyrolysis, a fast pyrolysis, gasification to produce these biochars. And with this, we get a lot of variability. There's a lot of complexity associated with biochars, and the site specificity, we call it, that is very soil type and environmental conditions dependent. So when you put a biochar in the soil, we're unsure of, you know, largely, how is it going to impact, whether the soil is sandy or clay. And also the application rate of biochar, whether you're applying 10 tons per acre or 50 tons per acre. And then something I've also been really interested in, which I'm not talking about today, is this idea of time. So the fact that when we apply biochar to soils, its impacts today might not be the impacts down the line. So to take all this complexity together, models allow us to integrate all these different components and get a better idea of how biochars can impact different systems. So within the study, we were using APSIM, or the Agricultural Production Systems Simulator. And this is a farming systems model. Probably a lot of you are familiar with it, but generally, the central engine with various component modules that allow us to get a better idea of all these complex environment management crop-soil interactions. Well, back in 2016, Satorius developed a biochar module, the first of its kind, for use within this agricultural systems model, and it allows us to get a better idea of biochar's impacts on agronomic and environmental performance. But with any new model, as you know, it requires further testing and calibration. So this is largely the overview of the biochar module with four major component modules, specifically carbon cycling, nitrogen, crop phenology, and then the soil water component. And you have all these input management, weather, inputs into the system that drive it. But today I'm specifically talking about the soil water component of the biochar module and the pedotransfer functions we use to estimate soil water parameters within it. So pedotransfer functions. Basic overview is that within soil science, they allow us to estimate an unknown soil parameter, so something that's typically difficult to measure time intensely or costly, from very known, well-known soil properties, or very easily measurable soil properties. And one just basic example is we have an unknown soil parameter like Y that's difficult to measure, and we can use sand, silt, and clay, or soil texture, to estimate that parameter. And that parameter is a function of that soil property, and we have constants that have previously been developed, A, B, and C, within that. So this will accurately, or using pedotransfer functions is important for allowing us to get the most accurate estimates of yields within these models. So specifically within this study, we were interested in estimating the soil water parameters and physical parameters of saturation point, drainage upper limit, which is typically field capacity, the lower limit, permanent wilting point, and the bulk density from the easily measurable and widely reported on soil texture and soil organic matter. And within the biochar module specifically, when it was developed, it was using previously developed equations by Saxon and Rawls 2006. And these pitotransfer functions had been modified with quality modifiers to account for the inherent differences between biochar carbon and native organic matter. However, these modified pitotransfer functions with these additional quality modifiers within them were never tested using experimental data from biochar-amended soils. So the specific objectives of this study were to collect new experimental data from soils with and without biochar and evaluate not just the Saxon and Rawls equations, but a couple other pitotransfer functions and outputs from the Webb Soil Survey database to estimate the physical parameters in the topsoils with and without biochar and subsoils without biochar. And then our second objective was to quantify biochar model accuracy before and after calibration, determined to see if these quality modifiers within the pitotransfer functions are site-specific or we can just have one single parameter in there that's going to work across sites. So for sample collection, these were collected in around the state of Iowa at five different sampling locations. It's totaled 48 cores down to a depth of over 1 meter, and we sectioned these into 5 different depth increments and got a total of 226 samples. And if you see on this map, just the areas are representing different soil associations of Iowa, so we were interested in getting ones that were highly diverse in texture and soil organic matter. And the blue circles represent field sites that never had biochar, and the red circles indicate sites that had with and without biochar applications. And the laboratory analysis we've conducted were saturation point, water retention, curves using pressure plates, bulk density, soil texture, which we used the sonicator method and the hydrometer method for particle size analysis, and then soil organic matter content determination. So this was the result of soil texture distribution, a wide range of soil textures from our samples, ranging from a sandy loam up to a silt clay loam with various distribution within those. And the circles indicate the green are just subsoils, which I'm not talking about in my results at all today, and then the blue are with biochar and the red are without biochar. So just moving into some results, and I'm only talking about what happened in topsoils, and here we can see the different soil water parameters on the left, just different simple statistical indicators about performance for soils without biochar on the top, soils with biochar on the bottom. And I know there's a lot of numbers on this figure or on this table, but excuse me, I would just like you to look at where we saw the red, which is where the model performed best, or the pitotransfer functions performed best for estimating a given parameter. And overall, it was the Webb Soil Survey database and the Saxon and Rawls equations that were best across all parameters for soils with and without biochar. And then looking specifically at the Saxon and Rawls pitotransfer functions within topsoils, so they performed generally pretty well. We have measured values on the x-axis, simulated values on the y-axis. Again, biochar samples are the red and no biochar are the blue. And very similar relationships, things like bulk density and the lower limit, very close to 1 in their estimates. Some other parameters were slightly underestimated by these pitotransfer functions. But we were also, within this study, very interested in better understanding the relationship between soil organic matter and plant available water, because we know there's been a lot of literature out there that there's a direct relationship between the two. And because we have this idea that biochar doesn't have the same impacts on soil water as native organic matter, we want to see if this was really true. So what we found were the slopes were similar, so the rate of change was similar for samples with and without biochar, but different intercepts, so just starting out at a different magnitude of change. But really the big picture to take away from this is that for a given soil organic matter content, when you have small or lower soil organic matter, the increase was slightly, there was a significant increase with plant available water, but there was really a negligible change as soil organic matter increased with increasing plant available water. It was only about, 0.05%. It's a very small rate of increase. So pretty similar impacts of biochar and native organic matter and this relationship. But we did also find that the Sexton and Rawls did underestimate plant available water for a given soil organic matter content. And then we wanted to take these equations that had been developed and evaluate them further within APSIM when they were modified with these quality modifiers. So what we found within the biochar module for these five different field sites, the five different areas within Iowa, 10 different field sites we used, was that model performance improved by just looking at root mean square, relative root mean square, and modeling efficiency. As we adjusted these quality modifiers to improve estimates of soil water and physical parameter estimations. And so the red is just indicating improved model performance for these given parameters. And what you'll notice for the lower limit or permanent wilting point is that it doesn't change at all. And right now within the biochar module, it just has a value of zero because it's not, when it was developed, there was inconsistency within the literature of how biochar impacted the lower limit. So this is a potential point of future work to improve estimates within the model. And then I know there's a lot on this figure, but it's looking at the different soil parameters, and the measured data are the black diamonds with standard deviation bars, and then the bars are the stimulated data for the five different field sites that had biochar with various application rates of biochar. And what we see is that there's generally, obviously, more variability within our measured data, but the biochar module did a good job in generally estimating the overall trends of how biochar impacts these soil water parameter estimates. And this was after calibration. So things like bulk density, as we generally see a trend with, as you increase biochar application rate, you decrease overall bulk density. And something with regarding to the soil, to the lower limit, that as we actually increased biochar application rate going from left to right, we saw an increase in the lower limit, but obviously the model right now just keeps it stagnant. So in four out of the five sites, we saw this increase in the lower limit. So just some general conclusions from this study were that the Sexton and Rawls Fetal Transfer Functions of Web Soil Survey were best for estimating these soil and water parameters for topsoils with and without biochar. We saw this same general trend for soils with and without biochar for soil organic matter and plant available water. And we saw a very small change in plant available water for a given soil organic matter content. And the pedo transfer functions were more accurate in topsoils and subsoils, which I didn't talk about the subsoils at all today. And that we found that these modifiers that are on the Sexton and Rawls equations within the biochar module now, they're important and they improve model performance. And that these quality modifiers are also very site specific, and at least right now until we have larger experiments database, that we need local calibration for to get the most accurate estimates of biochar and soil water at a given site. And that we had some initial evidence that biochar does impact the lower limit, and that we need a larger body of literature to further support that and justify changing these equations within the model right now. And this could be a point of future work. And with that, I'd just like to acknowledge a couple people with their help in the sample collection analyses of these soils and my funding sources. And thanks for listening. I'd be happy to answer any questions.